coming to you from the frozen tundra deep inside the basement of champions.
Canada!
The Dean Somerset Podcast.
Woohoo! Beer!
Let's go!
And now, the man who puts the FU in functional training. Here he is, Dean Somerset.
What's cracking, everyone? It's Dean Somerset with the Dean Somerset Podcast. I'm here with two very fantastic guests, my lovely wife, Lindsay, and our special friend from Vancouver, Megan Calloway.
It's like a princess wave.
That was a beautiful wave. I mean, you had the wrist action going.
I did. It was not very wave-like.
Your elbow must be feeling great right now.
And don't forget about the dogs.
And we have dogs here, too. We got Dolly on one side, Max on the other. Freckles is observing from the peanut gallery. He doesn't like being manhandled.
It's a great way to start off the podcast.
I mean, we got a dog that's already growling and kind of biting, and this is exactly as I expected it to be. This is great. So, main reason why I wanted to chat with everyone is that you're both hilarious. That's one. And then you're both involved with fitness in one way or another. Megan, you're a high-caliber athlete, strength coach now. Lindsay, you're a high-caliber athlete, working with me and just observing the fitness industry from the backside of things. So the main thing that I was hoping to ask would be like getting opinions on what you see in the fitness industry, what you like, what you don't like, all that kind of fun stuff. I mean, obviously we can keep it somewhat down low so that you're not giving names and naming people and that kind of
stuff. For sure.
Yeah. So in terms of like female strength coaches in the industry, what do you see happening that you like, that you don't like?
I'm trying to think of, I mean, what I don't like, I want to be very politically correct.
To a point, yeah.
Focusing too much on, I love body positivity, but I think we're also taking away from what we're able to do, how we should be feeling, and we're only focusing on appearance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When women have been dealing with this for years, and I get that's why body positivity has come about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it would be a lot more empowering if we focused on what we can do, how well we should feel, and just how physically amazing we are.
True.
Versus just what we look like.
Yeah, I'll kind of add to that a little bit too, is it, like, I understand the whole, how it kind of came about, because this is me. Like, let's be honest, as women, it's always, we've been ingrained for years. It's about how you look. You got to be this size. You got to be, you know, 5'9". You got to be thin. You got to be blonde. You got to be this. You got to be that. Yeah. But I mean, let's be honest, good majority of the population is not that. Sorry, I'm getting a little distracted because Dolly's sleeping in the background.
That's all right.
Dolly, come here, sweetie.
But yeah, like, the thing is, like, there's so many different body types out there, and, like, I've seen, you know, women of different sizes, different backgrounds, different ages doing amazing things that I cannot do. Like, I am never going to be able to do a 400-pound deadlift. Like, I'm just not, but I've seen women who can, and I'm just like, damn, like, that's amazing. Or you see, like, recently with the Olympics that we're on, and you watch some of the stuff that some of those female athletes do, and it's unbelievable. And you get, like I said, all sorts of different body sizes, different types, like I said, different ages. Like, there was a 15-year-old figure skater who crushed the competition going up against women who've been, like, at their, this would have been their fifth Olympics, and she crushed them all. So to me, like, that's something I want to see more of, is just, you know, the body positivity, but like you said, focusing on what you can do.
Yeah.
And even right now, I'll give a shout out, because a lot of people don't know, the Paralympics are on. Shout out to the people in the Paralympics. And those are people who were probably told, it's like, well, you can't do this because you don't have that. Well, really? Because they're at the Paralympics right now and we're all not. So it's seeing that, right? So to me, that's what I would like to see, a little bit more body positivity than just, oh, well, like, yeah, we get it. You have cellulite. Everybody has cellulite. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that because there are a lot of people where it's like, oh, cellulite bad. Here's your cream for that. Here's your foam rolling exercise for that. Which, by the way, yeah. it doesn't exist. It doesn't help.
No.
Yeah.
But just seeing more of what, focusing on of what it's like, you know what, here's what you can do. And just be active, be healthy, and just focusing on what you're able to do.
And being positive, not angry, not confrontational, which also seems to be a common theme.
Not competitive with everybody else on Instagram who can do more than you for whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there are times where it's like, I see, you know, women who, like, I'm super close to a 300-pound deadlift, and I see women, I'm just like, oh, but then it's like, I stop and I think, okay, well, they're probably, you know, been at this a lot longer than I am, and a lot of them are power lifters, and also probably can't, but then I stop and think, okay, but I podiumed at nationals, so I have to view that as quite an accomplishment and everything that I've been able to come back from. So,
So what kind of stuff do you see going well with the fitness industry right now?
Ooh, I'll let you say that.
I think, once again, people, females, males, who focus on what you can do, who focus on making people feel good, empowered, not focusing on your limitations. Sometimes I find people are too involved in the emotions versus, I mean, you can enhance the emotions by focusing on, once again, what's your what you're capable of doing, how good you can feel. That makes you feel good emotionally a lot of the time versus just focusing on the emotions. Absolutely. And guys don't tend to do that.
Not as much, no.
I mean, females tend to do that a lot more.
Yeah.
And then I also find that's why we often aren't taken as seriously.
Yeah. I think that could also be an advantage to that, though. I think you, you know, somebody asked you on a Q&A, and I can't remember, you know, what the question was, but it was something about, you know, females are able to tap into that emotion aspect a lot better than sometimes males are. That's not always the case, but sometimes they are. And I'm starting to see more, you know, women get into things like the strength training. Because I think for a long time there was the, well, don't lift weights, you're going to get bulky. Which, I mean, the myth still is out there and everything like that, even though it's been disproven. But you see more women getting into it and getting strong. And even just, like I said, even just for a physical, and a huge part is like mental health. Yeah. Another part that I see really good happening in the fitness industry too is, and it's been a topic that has come up recently and time again, a lot of it has been lack of diversity in the fitness industry. Yeah. So people of color, you're starting to see a little bit more of that. You're starting to see more women speakers and, you know,
very few openly gay people though.
Yeah.
Male, I mean, especially male, like especially male.
Absolutely. So I think you're starting to see that. You're starting to see a little bit more diversity at conferences. That's not always the case, but you're starting to see it. So,
So what would you say would be some reasons that you would see that would be limiting a lot of the diversity that may be out there?
For me, once again, I'm coming from an outsider, but I think it's either people aren't willing to put themselves out there, or, you know, I'm sure when you were, you know, when you were first starting out, you weren't thought of as a speaker for the fitness summit. Is you had to put yourself out there and speak, but you also have to put the content out there. So I think the big thing is putting the content out there. As you know, you're just now starting to get asked to speak because you just put out your pull-up program, and which was your first product, definitely not your last product. Hopefully but your not. First but your first product, and you were crushing it. But that's the thing, and people starting, but the thing is, you're not gonna get asked to speak at a conference if you don't put yourself out there, and especially if people don't know your work. So, I mean, here's the thing. Not everybody's going to love you. You're probably going to get a few haters. We all do. But, and, you know, even you, everybody, I'm sure everybody's had, you know, people, it's like, oh, you suck at this, you suck at that. You know what? But for majority, but you're never, like I said, you're never going to get ahead if you don't put yourself out there and get asked to speak at these conferences. If you don't put yourself out there, and specifically if you don't put content out there, I'm just starting to learn about who certain people are because they're starting to put content out there and starting to put articles out there. So,
yeah,
I agree with that.
Do you think that there might be like a bit of an old boys club mentality?
Oh, totally.
The list people to follow.
Yeah.
The one that everybody gets upset about.
I won't say the name of the person who puts it out every year. We know who it is, and it's the same people doing the same
thing.
I was going to say the same bullshit. I mean, a lot of the names are really good, but they're also excluding a lot of really good people, women, men as well. But it's just kind of like a circle jerk.
It's a
list you've been on. You and I both know, we all know which list it is. It's a list you've been on. You were left off it. You didn't care that you were left off it.
It was kind of like, laughed when I saw it. I
think a lot of people did.
But then I also commented, I couldn't help, or not his list, there was a different one.
Mm-hmm.
And I did comment, it was all, I think it was like 50 people, I think maybe 3 females.
Yeah.
So I just said, I'm like, are you serious? Of 50 people, you could think of 3 females.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it was funny because it was, and I'll give a shout out to her, was Chrissy King.
Yeah.
Put out that article.
Yeah, that was good.
And she brought it up, and going back to the diversity with it, and it was, you know, fitness so white, because let's be honest, it really is. But she was the one who wrote that article, and I believe it was Courtney Thomas, and I'll also give her a shout out to it, shared it. And I read it, and it was so well written. Yeah. And she put out that list, and I'm just like, man, I didn't know of half these people. And then all of a sudden, I started following a lot of them, and I'm like, they're putting out some really good content. Like, these are people who I want to hear more of. Like, there's a lot of people in the fitness industry, and, you know, who are at the top of the fitness industry, and you hear of, and they put out great content. But I want some new blood. I want some fresh blood, you know? Like, different ideas from different aspects, different backgrounds. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's so many good people who are being ignored.
Yeah.
And it's like the same crowd. They share each other's work.
Yeah.
Like, they ignore a lot of others. And I'm lucky because I do have a decent number of people who share mine. But there's a lot of good people, men and women, and they are totally being ignored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you see that being something that gets changed going forward?
More people feeling comfortable putting their work out, for one. You have to just do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, establishing good relationships helps, but you have to put the work out in the first place.
Yeah, and that's what I go with, you know, you got to put the content out there, whether it's, you know, Facebook content, Instagram content, just getting your content out there. And then eventually, if you can try to, you know, that's how you establish yourself, is just getting content out there, writing as much as you can, trying to get published as much as you can.
Yeah.
And that's how people are going to know who you are.
Or videos or whatever you're comfortable doing, like writing videos. Mm-hmm.
So why do you think people aren't putting themselves out there as much?
Fear of rejection and the same people constantly being shared over and over.
Yeah. I would definitely say fear.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you think part of that comes, like, if you have, say, like, a female of color, they're going to have a harder time getting their message out there in a positive light compared to, like, a white male?
Oh, for sure.
If you go there, for sure. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or it's the same with someone who's, you know, openly out putting their work out there. I mean, like, not to get into politics or anything, but if you look at the political landscape, particularly in the U.S. right now, and you're open and, you know, you're brand new and you're putting your stuff out there, you're probably not going to get the same traction as somebody else, right?
So you hear a lot of stories of people who are out or who are people of color or whatever, where they're getting a lot of, like, nasty messages or threats and stuff like that.
And that's the thing. Yeah. And it's
That's kind of one of the downsides to putting yourself out there, is that you kind of open the door for a lot of that to come in.
And if you don't maintain the image, you're not going to be popular or where people won't share your
work. Yeah, and I think that also comes back to, like, the image thing too, right? There's that certain notion that you have to have a certain physique, a certain aesthetic.
Yes.
You know, you have to have the lean body fat, you have to have the ripped six pack abs.
But not look manly.
As a female. Yeah. And I know, and here goes Freckles.
She doesn't like loud noises.
Come here.
And I know, even like for you, when you put advanced core out, because you know, you were a bit heavier, and I still remember some of the comments that you got were, oh, like, I'm gonna take ab training from this guy. Like, I still remember that, and I'm just like, just shaking my head.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was fun. But
yeah, there's somebody with a six pack who knows nothing, and who has crippling back pain.
He's got a six pack, but he's got crippling back pain to go with it.
Yeah.
Oh well.
So
So what kind of things do you see happening going forward in the fitness industry that might be, like, good or bad? What kind of stuff are you seeing in the future?
Well, more women are sharing their work. Yeah. I mean, like Amanda Wheeler, she is awesome. She's like, awesome. There's so many people I could name. Lee Peel, Kelly Hart, mm-hmm. Sarah Duvall. I mean, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. So many good women, very different, sharing their work. Mm-hmm. People are supporting them. I think that will change. Mm-hmm. That'll make a big difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's also going to be a fact that, you know, they're putting out great content.
Yeah. And kind of leading for it. Well, I mean, you cannot ignore that.
They're putting out content on stuff that's not also fear-mongering based, too.
Yeah.
So they're not saying, oh, if you do this, something bad is going to happen to you. It's more, you should do this because it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, you will feel good. You'll feel strong. It's not like, I don't want to say what, because it'll be very obvious.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Don't run or your vajayjay will fall out.
Yeah, there's that.
Exactly.
I remember Brett Contreras was talking about deadlifts one time, and somebody messaged him about females doing deadlifts, and he's like, oh, their vagina's going to fall out if you have them deadlift. Oh my God. Then he was talking with his female clients about that, and every time that she did a deadlift set, she'd be like it was exploding.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, max deadlift, and it's like...
Yeah, it's like confetti.
If anything, the reverse would happen.
Yeah, you might actually tighten things up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're getting more into things like pelvic floor health. We're getting into women lifting.
And that's a great thing. Yeah. And I mean, and I'll say too, like I said, I'm somebody who doesn't have kids, who's, you know, not going to have kids. I'll openly say that. But there hasn't been a lot of resources out there for women with pelvic floor issues. It's been such a taboo subject, and there hasn't been the resources out there, right? Mm-hmm. I know, you know, you've worked with a number of clients. Yeah. And
a lot of it has come from working with physical therapists who specialize in that and say, do this, not this. Mm-hmm. So
or do nothing.
I'm fortunate I've got a couple of physios who are actually really progressive and go forward. But even then, think about like the postnatal stuff that you were learning like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, well, just do low steady state cardio, no hard surfaces and reps of like 15 and up and never lift a weight over 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, look at how far postnatal fitness has come since that.
Sarah Duvall again.
Yeah.
Just name Sarah.
She crushes it.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So that's where the good stuff is going. What do you see as some of the bad stuff that you're like, ugh, I wish it wouldn't go that way?
Body positivity is becoming too extreme.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the middle ground. We kind of now have like the angry, don't do this. Or like, unless you look like this or act like this, you're bad.
Yeah.
You're not positive. Yeah. And
if you're skinny, you're doing it wrong. You're a terrible person.
And I mean, I've told people, like, I have a goal. Like, my goal is to gain a bit of weight. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that one time, and I had somebody say, well, why would you ever want to make yourself bigger? And so unless your goal is a certain thing, people kind of look at that as a negative.
Yeah.
Well, you consider where 90% of the fitness industry has been over the last, 30, 40, 50 years. It's all about losing weight. So when somebody says, I want to gain weight, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're going against the stream.
But going to the body positivity thing, and that's great to, you know, encourage, you know, if we're going to talk specifically women here, you know, to gain muscle, to get bigger, like, that's cool. That's awesome. That's great. But there's times where I've seen where it's almost a bad thing if somebody doesn't want to get bigger, if somebody doesn't want to gain a lot of muscle, and that's almost frowned upon, and there's a negative thing about
it's almost like fit shaming.
It kind of is, and I don't want to go to that route, but it kind of does. And like, I think of myself, I'm a cyclist. I specifically do a lot of timed events. So for me to gain a lot of upper body mass, which one would be incredibly difficult, but two, it'd be a massive detriment to me. Like, I think of people like in certain sports where gaining a lot of size and gaining a lot of mass is actually a detriment to them.
A lot of sports.
Like I said, I mean...
Soccer players aren't really big.
They're tiny. Soccer players are so...
Same thing with a lot of runners. It's like, if you're adding mass to a runner, and that's something that's their passion, great, that's their passion.
And like, for me to even just add a whole bunch of mass in general... if I'm going up a hill and I've added, you know, even 5 pounds of muscle, guess what? I gotta take that 5 pounds of muscle up a hill. It's not fun.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not fun.
With a lot of the stuff you're doing on the track, having more muscle is beneficial. Doing time trial, maybe
but
not.
But doing time trial is tough.
So
right?
For a lot of your off season stuff, if you're gaining 1 or 2 pounds of muscle, that's probably more than you would ever need.
Yeah.
But still, like, you gotta work your butt off to get that 1 or 2 pounds of muscle.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure you're the same way, Meg.
Mm. Yeah. That's why I laugh. It's like
weighted pull-ups.
Yeah, that's why I laugh. It's like, if you look at a weight, you're gonna gain weight. It's or gain muscle. It's like, do you realize how long it's taken me to put on even 10 pounds of muscle?
It's like, hard
it's
for people.
Hard. Yeah. Specifically yeah. women.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a slightly built woman.
Like, I have a hard time putting... my legs look, yeah. look the same no matter what I do. They've gotten bigger, but my upper body, I can put it on a little easier.
Yep.
Legs, not so...
That's because you crush chin-ups like
nobody's business. That's because I was... To be fair, I was looking at your arms and I was like, damn, girl. So...
Gotta get on yeah. that pull-up program.
I know. It's, I definitely do.
It's ultimate.
It's not so bad.
Yes.
It's not so bad. Pretty ultimate at times, anyway.
Yeah. Pretty ultimate.
Pretty ultimate.
It is, it is.
So what are some cool things that have happened? Like, maybe just like a story that stands out in your mind about your experiences in fitness one way or another. Like, obviously working in competitive athletics for soccer, for time trial, for track, and all that kind of stuff. There's obviously got to be something that stands out where you say, this was a really cool moment.
I've had a lot with my pull-up program. Just people, I mean, they've been sending me videos, messages. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of... I mean, even just still, the momentum with my, of my program has been huge.
Mm-hmm.
Constant videos. I had somebody who had not been able to do a pull-up 2 weeks later. This is not the norm, but she was able to do a pull-up after 2 weeks.
Wow.
Somebody else had a PR of 10. Just how excited people are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're empowered.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about focusing on what they look like or even just like being positive. Yeah. It's about feeling good,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which is positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Feeling good about performance outcomes and not just
exactly.
how the scale's moving.
Yeah.
And if anyone's interested in that, I'll put a link up on the video and also on the iTunes blog post podcast to be able to access your pull-up
Excellent.
Program.
Thank
that way everyone can get rock solid mm-hmm. and be able to pull up like crazy.
Yeah.
So a pull-up program, fantastic. What about for you? What have you done that's really cool?
Oh, man.
Nationals, world championships.
Well, there's that. I mean, probably the biggest one for me was coming back from a back injury.
Mm-hmm.
And just everything that happened with that, with my cycling crash back in 2003. Probably can't see it. Lovely little scar on my face. That's 15 stitches in my face from doing a nice little face plant on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to physically come back from that, because that messed up my SI joint quite, can't speak English, my SI joint quite badly. But
I'm sitting down here after having some drinks.
I've had a couple of drinks, yeah. I confess.
Yes. So messing up my SI joint, and then being on a bike that was not properly fitted, doing a whole bunch of mileage, and basically destroying the ligaments in and around my SI joint, plus obviously being hypermobile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people who does not need to stretch. More stretching is actually bad for me. It's terrible for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, just being able to just come back from that, because... You know, you were with me that entire journey, and it was hard. And yep. being in chronic pain, if you've ever been in chronic pain, like, it's awful. It physically wears you down, it mentally wears you down, and emotionally wears you down. And I was just in a really rough place
mm-hmm.
when that happened. And I mean, to the point where I actually didn't think I would actually be able to come back to, I was doing triathlon at the time, but be able to come back to triathlon at the time, and just everything I had to go through with that, and to now being able to, you know, bike pain free. And, you know, I was on the podium like number of times last year, including at nationals, which was a huge accomplishment, which I really didn't expect. And mm-hmm. just even my strength training, like, I never thought I'd be able to hit 285 pounds for a deadlift.
That's yeah. impressive.
You're like, deadlifting more than twice your body weight, and you're not a power lifter.
No, and I'm not. Yes. And I'm not a power yeah. lifter. Yes. That's yeah. that's the yeah. thing. But like, to the point where it's like, I literally had to take a year off of all running, all cycling, all lower body weights. Like, the only thing I could do was, like, for legs were, like, hamstring curl and leg extension. Yeah. And then I did the elliptical and swimming. That was all I could do for an activity for a year. So,
and then you had to go through injections into your spine.
I had to do the prolotherapy. I had to do IMS. I had to do all my rehab exercises. And then just having to completely rebuild from the ground up from there that was a tough one.
And you changed sports?
I did change sports. Yeah. I went from, it's like I had a horrific cycling crash, and what do I do now? I do cycling.
Yeah, where there's a higher crash rate.
Yeah, that is true. But I will admit I am a little bit more hesitant and more cautious in a lot of the big group riding, but I'm a time sport person. I'm a time trial individual pursuit person. Yeah. So it's just my strength.
But again, that gives you a performance outcome, and you're not just training to say, you know, I want the scale to move, or I yeah. want this to tighten, or or whatever.
No, okay. No.
But obviously, well, that's something that everyone carries with them at some point or another. Mm-hmm. They want to say, you know, oh, I look good, I look good,
yeah,
bad or whatever. So everyone's going to carry that to a point.
Well,
but
I mean, focus
most of your energy on a performance.
Well, outcome. And I mean, that took a long time to get there because, mm-hmm, you know, with everything with my eating disorder, like that took a long time. And I, yep, mean, you had to really help me with that and kind of, you know, even though it had been years past, it's like you don't really truly get over it. I mean, you get better. Like, as time goes on, you get better.
Yeah, you gain some perspective.
You gain some perspective. And I mean, I'm to the point now where, I mean, every once in a while you still get that, like, little negative thought. But, I mean, it's not to the point where it was where it's like, I gain a pound and I freak out type thing. Mm. Or, oh my God, my clothes don't fit. Like, I pretty much had to go buy all brand new jeans because I gained a fair bit of mass in my legs.
Yeah.
But I was like, instead of being like, oh my God, you know, freaking out, I was like, woohoo, I get to go shopping.
Totally.
Like,
you feel so much better.
I do. Yeah. So, and it's amazing. My performance has gotten better. And like I said, I'm lifting crazy heavy weight and it just feels good to just focus on that. So,
yeah. And you can enjoy life more.
Amazingly, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't skip dessert anymore.
No, clearly.
No. Nope.
I won't say what I've been eating.
We got some cherry pie ready to go
my
for
God,
after
like
this.
Brownies and macaroons. yeah, macaroons and meringue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a time that you posted that you were eating ice cream for dinner.
I lost a lot of followers on Instagram.
It's so funny on Instagram. Yeah. It's like you can be like doing everything right and then you do something that somebody thinks is
totally
not part of what your brand is.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all of a sudden the world is exploding.
It's like, heaven forbid I like ice cream.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
I was
you're
having a
human
shitty day. I wanted it for dinner. Like, seriously.
Yeah. You're human. So.
You're human. Yeah. That's the
yeah
thing.
Yeah, it's like I like ice cream. I like sour candies.
Yeah.
But I make it work.
And yeah, brownies.
But I'm very,
and
very
I think
flexible with
we food. Have you and I both have like ice cream and like dessert,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
like every night. We've never, the thing is, you and I have never not gone out and not had dessert.
Yeah,
like we have dessert every time. Tonight was an exception,
yeah, but our meal was very big.
Our meal was very good.
That
yes
was a big charcuterie plate.
It was.
I was full before the entree arrived.
Yeah, that we probably should have gone with the small,
but I still made it work.
Yeah, we still have a little bit of leftovers, but not a lot.
No.
We'll find a way to.
Oh, and then last night, my unfortunate mistake.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought I was ordering. I said I ordered one cauliflower, one fish, and one mushroom.
Tacos.
Thinking it was three total. We got. Oh, it was 12 total.
It was like one
was like
order of
total
each.
Yeah.
Instead. So like it was $80 worth of tacos.
And Dean was treating me, and I didn't know.
Yeah. So we get home, and we're just unloading
God
boxes of
I
tacos.
I didn't understand why the meal was so big.
Yeah. We walk out of there with like three
oh
bags
God
of tacos.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so
they
heavy.
Were like, wow.
Yeah. But they were good.
Yeah.
They were really good tacos.
And I ate a full cauliflower, four of them, before I realized what I'd done.
Yeah, and that was like four cauliflower tacos, and that's one order.
And
then
the
you're
fish
like,
ones
I still
are huge.
Fish.
That's why there's only the three,
yeah,
right? So
I think there's only two in those ones.
No, there's three.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, because okay
I had one yesterday as well.
Fair. Shout
and
out to Trace Carnelli's.
Shout
in Edmonton
out to Trace Carnelli's.
Yeah, best tacos in North America.
I had to try
easily
them all, so I just kept going.
You got to. I mean, you have to enjoy food. It's one of the basic guilty
yeah
pleasures of life, right?
I
it
did
is
the same thing as Lindsay. I was so, like, I mean, it wasn't maybe, I didn't have an eating disorder, but just extreme behaviors, obsessed with my appearance,
mm-hmm,
yep,
used it to control other parts of my life I didn't think I had any control over, and
mm-hmm
I was miserable.
Yeah,
yeah.
And probably at my highest percent body fat.
Yeah.
When I was trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of
clean
it comes
eating
back to just making
hashtag
sure.
Hashtag clean eating.
Yeah. A lot of it comes back to just making sure that you know what you're eating. And obviously if you have treats, just making sure you have accountability.
You make it work.
It.
Like
yeah
you can totally make it work.
Yeah.
Totally make it work.
Yeah.
Like I get, that's the one thing that does concern me when I see people where it's like, it's the all or nothing mentality
mm
when it comes to eating.
That was me before.
And to me, yeah, like as somebody who, like I said, as somebody with my past who,
where
you know,
you were all or nothing.
Where I was all or nothing. Cause you know, dealing with anorexia and exercise bulimia, like when I see that, it's just, it's like life is way too short for that.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, it's just, it saddens me when I do see people obviously with the disordered eatings and, you know, who do struggle with it because I mean, I've been there, but yeah, it does. Like I said, it's specifically with people in the fitness industry. That's the one thing that gets me is it's like, you know, when people, it's like, it's this all or nothing
mm-hmm
mentality. And then they put that on their clients, the all or nothing mentality. And it just irks me. I don't like it, like, at all. And it's not something I'm cool with. And
do you see parts of the industry kind of moving towards that, or do you see most of it moving away?
I think I see more of it moving away from Thankfully, you do see a lot of that moving away. It's the same thing with the, you know, back in the day where it was like the biggest loser, right? Like everybody followed the Biggest Loser and hey, let's exercise for 8 hours a day and this and that. And I want to lose, you know, 10 pounds and
in a day,
right?
In a day.
And being obsessive about that. And I do see it being more, you know, moderation, balanced approach. So thankfully you do see more of that. I mean, you're always going to have the extremes for anything and everything.
In certain backgrounds.
In certain backgrounds,
prone to that than others.
Yeah. I mean, in anything you do, you're always going to see extreme to both sides of the pendulum swing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whether it's fitness, religion, politics, everything.
Yes, we won't get into that.
We won't get into that.
Publicly, anyway.
Nope.
But even then, you'll always see the extremes one way or another.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could say, like, the extreme ordered, like, very hyper-ordered eating and body positivity may be placed at various ends of the spectrum.
Like, then me losing all the followers because I had ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have been doing the pull-ups while eating the ice cream.
I could.
That would have actually been, if you would have done that, that would have been super. That's the next challenge for you.
I could hang with one arm while
and
eating ice cream. Oh, I'd have to have somebody feeding me.
Well, that's, I wouldn't I'm be sure able that to could hold. Be arranged.
You know what? Get an ice cream bar.
I could set the ice cream.
Oh, that's forward thinking right there. That's
if you get an ice cream bar,
I could do
that?
The bar, hang from one arm, eat my ice cream.
Yeah. Or you just pay someone to stand there with a bowl and you just scoop. And
I need somebody to feed me because I like the ice cream better.
But the person
bars.
Who's standing there has to be wearing either like a costume or just a tutu or something like that.
Oh, it could maybe be Deadpool. Sparkler. It could be what's his face from Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You're going to get Ryan Reynolds to that then.
Mm-hmm. Or we could do Charlize Theron.
Oh, that would
even
be
though she's not Deadpool,
well.
But a Tom.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm sure you could find a way to incorporate her.
I'll somehow coerce her into doing that.
Dear Charlize.
Charlize, will you come feed the ice cream while I hang from one arm
while I do a chin up.
Yeah.
I'll just hang. I'm not gonna do a chin up.
Well, you could do a chin up and then she could put the
I could do an eccentric, even though I was terrible at them today.
Well, I mean, if you're doing two hands, she could put the ice cream into your mouth for you.
I can have the ice cream in a pint between my legs and do hanging leg raises and
if you can get you're able to do that.
I could, but I'd have to eat out of the pint without a spoon.
Well, just melt it.
Just melt it.
Yeah. And then just have it cascade over you.
That could probably attract some of the wrong types, I think.
You know, bring them
it's
in
like melting
first.
Candle wax.
Oh my.
All right.
ice cream.
We're getting to podcast after hours now.
It is Saturday night.
Saturday night in Edmonton, Alberta.
And it's a snowstorm outside.
It's a very big snowstorm. I wished for it.
Yeah. I didn't.
You brought it with you when you came from Vancouver.
You know what? You stay here. I'll go back to Vancouver.
I think it's going to be rainy.
Okay, well then I don't know. I just want my sunshine and warm.
I do too.
We'll get there
soon. Somewhere warm.
I know.
Yeah.
Spokane, Washington.
There you go. For anybody who's interested, the Inland Fitness site. Megan's going to be speaking at that in a couple of weeks.
And your first time speaking at that.
I'm a virgin. I'm breaking my presentation virginity.
There you go. How excited are you?
I'm very nervous.
See, with most virginities, it's more of a, oh, hey, this is happening. Yours is like, you know about it for so long ahead of time.
I've been planning it. It's like my wedding night.
So it's like... Yeah, loud noises are dog
freckles.
It's
like my wedding night. I've been really prepared for it. It's like my...
You've been running through it in your mind.
My partner and I have been living separately,
and we're now
going to move into the same house for wedding night. And
that's funny.
What could go wrong?
Hopefully nothing.
Nothing, no. So
we'll see what happens.
So are you thinking about like best case scenarios, worst case scenarios going in, or are you just like trying to stay conscious?
Trying to be calm.
Yeah.
I had people calming me down, thankfully, but I'm very nervous.
Honestly, the best thing to do is treat it like you're talking to one of your clients.
That's what I'm
thinking.
So
if you're instructing somebody on a one-on-one basis, but you're making eye contact with everyone in the room.
That's what I'm planning.
That's the best way to go about it.
Not like looking up at the ceiling. In elementary school, I did that.
I think somebody said
stare up at like a point on the ceiling.
Yeah. Or it's like, so our next point that we're going to be doing is...
Yeah. Read off the notes and then every now and then just look up really quickly, make eye contact. And look
I totally did.
We've all done that.
Today we're going to learn about chin-ups. And then we're going to do pull-ups.
I did that.
Yeah.
I think we've all done that.
I'm gonna be coaching though. I'm gonna try to be serious about it, and I'm gonna make it like as Nick to Manello. He gave me some good. Well, I told him my plan.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're making it like it's your home court.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's gonna be my home court.
There you go. Yeah.
Home court advantage.
Walk in there and be like, I'm gonna spank every one of you on the bum, and you're gonna like it, and we're gonna talk pull-ups, and we're gonna dominate this.
And then Lee Peel, she told me she'd sit at the front and have a barf bag in case I got really nervous, and I could barf in the barf bag.
Usually that happens before you go on.
Oh, yeah. It'll be the very beginning while I'm introducing myself.
Oh, boy.
It's early in the morning, too. Well, it's at 9.
Yeah. So you should be okay if it's at 9.
I wanted it early just so I'm not thinking about it all day long.
And you just get it done and over with, right? Mm-hmm. So
I would say, if anything, don't even introduce yourself. Just show up and be like, all right, we're going to talk about pull-ups.
I'm keeping the intro short. Oh, yeah. No, I'll fuck up if I try to get into specifics. I will be really bad.
Yeah. Don't even talk about yourself to start. Talk about topic. And then at the end, say, I'm Megan. Contact me here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know in one of your slides when you do your intro, you're like, I'm just a meathead who likes to lift heavy things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, so. I'll be purposefully self-deprecating to get the entire room laughing in one way or another.
Yeah.
And then I'll make fun of Norway. And
that was my favorite.
But Norway has some very good positives.
Really good positives. And they've also got an amazing training
Norwegian.
Program.
Are you?
Yeah. I am actually part Norwegian.
I'm part Irish.
Irish?
Irish.
Is that meaning that you wish you were Norwegian?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Oh my God, Irish. Wow.
So it's when you're Irish with a lisp.
Exactly.
Nice. But yeah, when I was in Norway, I put up a slide talking about curling. So it was Norway in their pants and Canada.
I saw that.
Canada
that
and their
was
gold
very
medals.
Impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I was mesmerized by the one girl in the group who could do the pistol squats really well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Norway is pretty good at squatting.
A lot of them could do it. Like here or Canada, Vancouver, it would probably not be like that.
Well, it was interesting doing the same workshop in London. Everyone's falling over.
Yeah.
Because I guess British people can't squat. And I'm British through like three different generations.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
On one side, I'm Somerset and then also Webster. And then back further is Clark and Plumtree.
Oh, Clark is my mom's maiden name.
Yeah, that was my grandma on my mom's side. Her maiden name is Clark.
Wow.
But even then, it's like, yeah, we might be like third cousins twice removed or something like that. But yeah, I'm like as British as it gets, so I can make fun of the British. But none of them knew how to squat, and there was maybe one or two who could actually do a pistol squat. We go to Norway, and it's like,
oh my God, they were, oh, I was impressed.
Yeah, they know how to squat.
Yeah.
They can dip it low and pick it up slow.
Wasn't that one of the jokes that Tony stole?
He stole your joke.
No, he stole my Drake squat.
Oh, he told you stole your Drake squat.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Drake squat. Oh no, what did I say at dinner? We won't say it publicly. Well, I complimented Tony's bum.
Yeah, Tony's got a really
very
nice bum.
Well-developed bum.
He'll say it. He'll say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony works hard at his bum.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very happy to be able to deadlift as much with the butt that he has.
And take his shirt off, apparently, in a lot of videos.
Yeah, he won't even be asked. He'll just pop off. And
we can say this about Tony, though.
I joke, Tony is one of my man crushes.
There you go.
Or like, sorry, fitness crush, man crush.
Well, it can be a man crush, too.
It can be a man crush.
Man crushes are kind of, they're my neutral crush.
Sure.
Or that made no sense. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like, Stu McGill is a professional crush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And Tony is an equivalent professional
crush. And you too.
Okay,
fair. Tony's basically, like, you and Tony are basically, like, brothers. Like, you guys are, like, so identical in so many ways. It's kind of scary after spending time with both of you together. Yeah.
Like
so.
Our haircuts.
Well, there's...
I lump you two together, and I'm like, you're two separate people, but I'm like, Dean and Tony.
Yeah, we're kind of a tandem deal most of
the time. To be fair, you guys are kind of sometimes more of a couple, like, known together more as a couple than, like, you and I are sometimes.
Depends
like, in the fitness
listening.
Industry, yeah. But it's funny.
Depends on who's listening.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if your mom and dad are listening to this and they're like, who's this Tony guy? Do we have to worry about
him? Tony is. We've talked about Tony.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Everybody knows Tony, so.
How can you not know Tony?
How do you not know Tony? And how do you not love Tony?
There you go.
Yeah.
So much
it's
Tony
like a
love.
Tony fest. It's like how it's turned into We Love Tony on here.
We need to have a banner that just says, I
love
Tony.
Invite him. He could be sitting right here.
We could Skype him in.
We could Skype him in.
I'm sure we could. We could find a way to make
mind
it
you, what time is it? Because it's 2 hours
He's
ahead of us.
He's probably in bed.
He's probably in bed when we started eating dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is it? It's like 8.
Yeah, it's 8 here,
it's
so it's like 10 o'clock.
Time.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in
Boston. Oh, he's definitely in bed.
Yeah.
On especially. A Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He parties hard on the weekends. Yeah. 9 o'clock, he's usually down for it. But
I kind of do that sometimes as well.
Oh, what time was it last night when I was hitting bed? Like 9:20?
9:30 or something?
Yeah.
House Hunters.
Yeah, I mean, House Hunters and then done, right?
watch them complaining about the ceiling being slanted and
slightly too low.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you get when you move into a different country where houses are a third of the size that they are in Texas.
Yeah. Oh man, I can do an entire podcast on my ranting about house hunters.
Me too.
Like,
good. Good.
I could, but I won't.
We'll have to do that as part of our wrestling podcast.
Oh my god, we need to do a wrestling podcast. So stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen. There will be a wrestling podcast between you and I.
If you like pro wrestling, you'll want to kick in for that one.
Okay, and I'll
Even if you don't like pro wrestling, you'll still just do it anyway.
And even not just like we're not even going to talk about just WWE. We're going to go into like the indies, like
we'll go
Ring of Honor, New Japan. That's right, we're going to go there.
I know nothing.
I probably actually know more than you. This is the frightening thing.
Yeah, my wife reads the dirt sheets.
Dirt is like a magazine.
Well, no, it's like blogs and insider information. Oh, and it's like an entire shadow industry.
Sounds illicit.
It kind of is. Yeah, I can't stop. It's a guilty pleasure, all right?
That was like me and the celebrity magazines back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I retired. I don't do that. I used to buy them when I was obsessed with doing the steady cardio to burn the calories.
Yeah.
And I'd be reading Us Weekly and In Touch and obsessing about what somebody was doing and who they were doing, the celebrity man.
And how they were
now
doing
it. Now you can
just
get that all online. Just go on to TMZ or
I can't follow that anymore. No.
No. It's like the news.
I've evolved.
That's true. So,
there you go.
That being said, Dolly's way more interesting than anything.
Dogs are pretty cool.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we can probably wrap that up then since we've been chatting and going hard at this one for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay, for anybody who wants to find out more about you, where can they look?
Oh, well, if you love dogs or anything animal rescue or pets, because I don't discriminate against any animals, specifically cats, I have my website, fortheloveofanimalrescue.com, as well as my Instagram, fortheloveofanimalrescue. And if you're super into like food and travel and
deadlifts
and occasional dog stuff, then at Lindsay Somerset for my Instagram, my personal Instagram.
Solid. It's a good Instagram.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got lots of cute puppies on there.
Oh my god! If you like animals,
yeah.
Megan, what about you? Where can people find more info from you?
Megan Calloway Fitness, and then ultimatepullups.com.
Nice.
And Facebook.
And I'll also include a link to everybody's stuff on postings and stuff like that. And also to your Ultimate Pull-Up Guide, because I'm sure people would love to dig into that.
Hopefully.
Ladies, thank you very much for being awesome guests on the podcast today.
Thank you.
If you have any closing words, go. But if not, we're good to go for the rest of the night.
Other than I love you.
Yay.
I love you too, Dee.
Oh, that's sweet. We go bro fist.
Yes.
There you go.
Bro fist. Because we love the bro terms so much.
Yes.
Bro makes women feel included.
It does.
It does.
Cool. All right. All done for the day.
Bye.